Hey, how are you? This is The Central Division, a podcast between David Coggins, my friend, and myself, Michael Williams. We're here today to talk about all of the phases in our lives, including the current phase, which we can get into. Here we are. David, where are you? Are you in the Red Zone studio right now?
I'm having a huge Red Zone day. There have been so many good games, and which is great. And the fact that my Vikings aren't playing, no pressure. Nothing can ruin it. No terrible Cousins interceptions. So
where is the Red Zone studio? Do you know? Secaucus, New Jersey?
I was looking at the ridiculous studio today, and I just presume it's in New York. And I don't know if that's because that's a very New York thing to do, where we just presume the time zone is our time zone and any television studios in New York. I'm still getting used to the fact that the NBA one is in Atlanta. I keep asking basic questions. So is Charles Barkley in Atlanta?
Oh, TNT is in Atlanta. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Or TBS. Yeah. Sorry.
And exactly. So I always presume that everything would be in New York, which makes no sense at all. But I think the Red Zone is.
But you're in New York.
I'm here. And it's all of a sudden it went from being humid and balmy, and now it's, I think, kind of October is here and brisk weather is here.
It's actual fall dressing is happening.
I'm ready for fall dressing. I mean, that's what it's all about. I've got my tweeds and corduroy just waiting in the
water. In the wings.
Howling, take me out. And
I love it. Yeah, a lot of that stuff I just put in deep storage, you know. I'm never gonna go back. Now that I never go to New York, I don't need it.
Right.
It's funny. I'm in La Quinta. I'm still in the desert. I go back. I've been back and forth to LA a lot, you know. So, but you know, we're still at opposite ends. We've got the whole country covered. It's nice.
I had a question. Is Halloween happening for your people in your household? Is this like the first ever Halloween or second?
You know, it's funny. I had that on my notes to ask you about dressing up for Halloween, because that's something I think many more than just me are curious about. We're getting to the age where, you know, Halloween is a big deal. And I think Halloween happens here. I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is on that. You know, we're going to leave like a thing of wipes and a bowl, you know, serve yourself. Or some of those tongs, you know?
I like it. Yeah, very long chopsticks that tempura chefs use. I feel like, is Halloween big for younger children more for the costume, attention, or candy?
I think it's, I don't know, we don't need to get into this too deep, but I think they go through phases where like costumes are a big deal. And obviously candy and sugar is always just, always a big deal. But I think it goes through phases, and then, you know, then it just becomes about mayhem.
Sure.
Right.
I remember something about fun size. When we were young, there was the candy bars came in fun size, and that was the only time you saw them. And you would see
that. Now they make that stuff up. It's interesting. You know, I've been thinking about this. I might make this into a newsletter, but you know, holidays, all of holidays are just like a creation to sell, you know, it's like something dreamed up to just sell more stuff.
Of course.
And, you know, in the Netflix doc, Capital, they talk about how Christmas was like nothing up until a certain point, and then it started to become super commercialized. It's not like new that Christmas is commercialized, but I think, I don't know, like me personally, I feel like we do a lot of stuff around holidays that's just really wasteful and sort of like too indulgent. And there's now 25 of them every year, you know, between like, I don't know. And so it's an interesting concept, the way it's sort of like spun out of control and become about like all this other stuff.
Well, it always
like fun size or, yeah, and exactly. To me, it's like whenever Reese's peanut butter cups, whenever they become the Easter eggs or the pumpkins or whatever.
You can imagine the marketing meeting. They're like, we need to make this an M&M that's suitable color for Easter. I don't know, whatever nonsense, or a bunny. Naturally, I've got to say something about Japan. And I Japan once, Tokyo for Halloween. And when you're there, really, when you're in any other culture and people do things differently for it, you just realize what a construct Christmas is, which they're also celebrating now in Japan. And it's so commercial and absurd, which of course it is here, but we're just used to it. And for some reason, the year I was in Tokyo on Halloween, all the girls were dressed as Pocahontas, which just was another insane thing to see. So Japanese girls as
Disney marketing,
Native American Disney character or something. I don't know how that worked out.
But I've been in Japan several times on Halloween.
Really?
I think because I liked the going that week. And then I just started going places certain weeks. So like the last week of July, first week of August, I would be in Maine. You know, like my calendar like had these things that are, you're like that too. I know certain things are kind of fixed.
Sure.
But I hate Halloween in the US as an adult. Like I hate Halloween in New York.
It's well,
like I won't leave. I would never go out around it's that.
Particularly bad where I live because the West Village, not just the fact that people are going crazy and dressing and acting like lunatics, but the parade, which is pretty wild, goes down our street, like right in front of the apartment. They put a barricade there, and from the where the door to the building is to the barricade is very narrow, totally full. Once you're in, you just stay in, and it sounds like there's, do you remember the scene in The Godfather Part 2 where the revolution is, or it's New Year's Eve in Havana, and it's you can't tell if it's people are celebrating or if it's a revolution. That's what it sounds like coming out of the windows.
That's funny. Halloween can be nutty in New York.
Well, there's,
I mean, especially if you live right there. Your neighborhood, you kind of knew, you had to know that going into it, right?
I did know that.
Packers Bar.
I try to stay away during Halloween. But I think something about New York that's absurd is that you see people, and this is funny about New York in any case, on their way somewhere. So if you're at a costume party, that kind of makes sense. Everyone in the room is dressed up. But if you're just walking down the street dressed as Fidel Castro or whatever it is, it just seems strange, maybe. Or maybe that's just, get over it.
I think that's just Halloween. Do you feel, so here's the big question, right? The big topic of conversation is sort of, I mean, I'm thinking that my sort of daily routine and general routine, I mean, even going back to like, I'm traditionally in this week, I was here and all of my routines are sort of thrown off. And it, you know, the pandemic has sort of made me realize like a lot of the things I was doing that were good or were bad. Right. And I think, you know, I think from like a health perspective, I'm worse now than I was because I, you know, all my routine of working out is now like all messed up.
Sure.
And in the same way that like all my other things that I was doing have sort of been, you know, upended. Do you feel like do you feel like you ever recognize like a phase in your life?
Yeah. Well, I always think about phases and I think about being aware of them after they're over. And I think even imagining the quarantine, there we'll look back upon the first phase is when we were, I don't want to say optimistic because it was definitely a shock, but where we were still positive about that we had ambitions to do something productive. And then we got out of that phase. But you didn't realize it until you'd stop trying to rewatch The Wire or read Anna Karenina or whatever it was. And I think that that happens in our lives. And I was thinking about phases. We're going to talk about phases today. And I think that when last week we were talking about brown clothes and how all of a sudden I realized I just had a ton of brown clothes. And also the fact that Eddie Van Halen died. And that made me think of when I was in high school, a freshman in high school, when I was obsessed with Van Halen. I mean, the first CD I ever bought, Van Halen 2, obsessed with Eddie Van Halen. And certain bands are kind of makes sense for a phase. But of course, when I was in it, I wasn't like, this is a phase. I was like, Van Halen is the best band. Or Eddie Van Halen is the best guitarist. And I'm felt very strongly about that and bought the concert video. I mean, crazy stuff.
But it's funny that I wouldn't expect you to be a big Van Halen guy.
That was my outlier. I wasn't much more, and the phase ended, and I was U2, or then Dinosaur Jr., and then the thing that I'm in now, The Cure, and Depeche Mode.
You know, it's funny though, as you list all of those bands, it makes me think, you know, something that stuck out to me when you were on How Long Gone, Chris Black said his music, I mean, it might have been even in the intro, he said his music taste and your music taste align perfectly. And I find that interesting, but also to be completely not true because Chris, you know, follows rap so closely. And I feel like you've never listened to a rap song in your life. You're not as bad as our friend Randy.
I'm not. I mean, rap and I never kind of crossed over for whatever reason. And I just that
it would be the ultimate sort of hilarious.
I wish I could have some deep, not secret. I just wish I had that side to me. But there's a certain time in your life where you realize I'm not going to get a tattoo. That's not happening. And but that's, I mean, the funny thing about phases to me is that certain, some of them are very specific to each of us, but some are actually specific, are kind of universal. Van Halen's a good example, or maybe let's certain things you go through at a certain time in your life, other people often go through them at the same time in their lives. So for instance, the Smiths actually was, I think, a good example, because I didn't like his voice when I was young, when I was listening to Van Halen. Then all of a sudden you get older, you get a little more angsty or something. And all of a sudden for certain people, they just like the Smiths at a certain time in their lives, the same way you might like an author at a certain time in your life. And it kind of turns on at the same time in different places for different people, which is very interesting to me. And then you, and it might even happen where you say, oh, did you like the Strokes that year or whatever it was in 2000?
I mean, everyone liked the Strokes at that moment, I feel like.
It did. And that felt like, but, and that's a, actually not a bad example, because it turned out that that was really a specific moment, what bars people were going to, how they dressed, that look. And you, and it didn't seem, it felt in the moment like it was a moment, but you didn't quite realize how specific it was at the time.
You've been listening to a free preview of Central Division, a podcast and newsletter between David Coggins and Michael Williams. To access all of our podcasts and all of our newsletters, visit centraldivision.substack.com. Thank you.